Over the last two decades, the Ashland New Plays Festival has become so much a part of October as yellow leaves and Halloween decorations. The formula is pretty well set now. Four new plays and their playwrights are presented with actors, many from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, reading their parts from scripts, generally on music stands. The New Plays Festival runs again next weekend, October 21st through 25th, all readings of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Ashland. One major difference this year, a new artistic director, Kyle Hayden, is the rookie artistic director at the Ashland New Plays Festival from Chicago, but formerly of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well, and right here in the studio with me. Good to have you, Kyle.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about getting the job and how you approached this.
It was a really exciting opportunity. I had done some work with Ashland New Plays back when I was acting at the festival, so back, I think, 2003, when I was a reader for a play. So I had a great time with that, but some of my friends here had told me about the opportunity that they were looking for a new artistic director, and so I decided to throw my hat in the ring, and fortunately they liked what I had to say. So it's a pretty exciting opportunity. I'm really thrilled to be a part of it.
Was it something you really jumped at when the chance came up?
Definitely. I've always wanted to be an artistic director. I've been acting and directing in theater for almost 15 years now, so getting the chance to kind of talk about the artistic direction of a organization is a pretty exciting thing for me. And to work with one that's existing, that has a long tradition and history, is great, rather than trying to start something from scratch.
So you got some history in Ashland, but you're also based in Chicago most of the time?
Correct, yeah. So I used to teach here at SOU, actually, but I took a job a couple of years ago at Roosevelt University's Chicago College of Performing Arts. So I do a lot of work in the city in Chicago, but my wife is from here. A lot of her work is here, so we go back and forth between the two places.
Ah,
so
natural connection to Rogue Valley.
Exactly.
Well, you know, there's the one major weekend a year, and certainly the setup for it, but I mean, how much time do you have to dedicate to ANPF the rest of the year?
It's a pretty decent amount of time, I'm finding out.
You always learn that first year, don't you?
I know, right, yeah. So I took the job in, I think, April, and so I've been working pretty steadily since then. You know, we had a huge selection of plays that our readers were picking from. I think we had almost 600 submissions this year. So we chose those plays in April, I believe, and so they whittled them down to 12 plays. I got to read through them. I helped select the top four. Then it's been coordinating with the playwrights, casting the plays, and doing all the general setup that we need to do to make sure that everything's ready for the festival next week. So
I saw that number somewhere in the publicity paper, 572 plays.
Yeah.
You figure these are generally going to be at least an hour and a quarter, hour and a half.
Yeah.
And some even longer than that.
It's amazing the amount of work that our readers did. All volunteers, all smart people here in the community who love theater, are interested in kind of finding the next generation of plays. So the work that they do, my hats are off to them. They read all the plays, they get together and discuss them in small groups, and they kind of create a group of semifinalists that comes out of that based on how they all score them. But it's a really cool process. So I can't thank them enough. That amount of work is insane.
It really is. I mean, the process has been well established for a long time now, mm-hmm. but I wonder if once you were appointed, if you gave any additional directions, you know, additional guidelines, criteria, things that you wanted to see come out in the plays that they needed to consider as they were reading through.
Not really this year. I mean, I think part of the deal is that you want to see how the organization works before you come in and start remaking things. So this festival has been the flagship of ANPF forever. So I think I wanted to kind of see how it worked. When we talk about looking at next year, I am interested in kind of how we look at plays and maybe things that we're looking at, maybe trying to get some more diversity, more gender parity, more difference in story, more than anything else. But like I said, these readers are all really intelligent people, so they're looking for plays that interest them and click with them. And so I feel like the mix that we've got this year is a pretty good mix of interesting stuff.
Difference in story. So what is not getting represented, do you think, in the New Plays Festival that you'd like to see out there?
Well, again, this year I feel like the representation is pretty good. I think you always look for more diversity in subject matter. You know, I think we'd love to have more writers of color involved as well, but it's also based on what your submission pool is. So part of it is just getting the words out to different communities about different types of plays, and I'm sure that our readers will react to them once they get them.
How difficult a job is it for a reader? I mean, we're not just talking about the bulk of the work, 572 plays. Granted, it was not. I don't think any one person read all 572.
I hope not.
For their eyeballs, I hope not. But the process of being able to look at a play on paper – mm-hmm. and be able to incorporate not just the dialogue indicated there, but also the stage directions to figure out what people are doing to and through and from each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a skill that everybody possesses, I think, right out of the gate.
It's not. You've got to be able to kind of look at the words and create the mental picture for yourself. So certainly it's got to be somebody who has a vivid and active imagination. And it helps if you've had some experience with plays, kind of looking at, you know, the how an artist creates the words, creates the pictures for themselves. So that helps. But, you know, I think there's also something to having somebody that's maybe less used to drama coming in and looking at something. I think that can be valuable as well. If they can come and they're not used to reading plays and they can look at it and they can see the pictures, that might say something pretty good about the material, the way that it's written.
Kyle Hayden's the artistic director at the Ashland New Plays Festival, running next week, October 21st through 25th in Ashland. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments. Everything working, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. In the process of choosing the plays, do the readers know the names of the playwrights?
No. No, it's actually, I think, one of the fun parts about it. So it's totally blinded until the end. Even when it gets to the final 12 and my first initial read of the play is I don't know who the playwrights are. So it's kind of fun to see the names and then learn the backgrounds about the people, you know, once we select them.
So somebody has to be able to contact the playwrights back. Who sits on this information, and is that person bribable, and are they driving a Cadillac already?
Are you interested in submitting? Is this what you're getting at? So we've got one person who's kind of the gatekeeper. She receives everything and is sorting them, and then our board president is also kind of looking at those information. But those are the only two that have that information. Everybody else stays blind, but they're the ones kind of pushing it out to everybody, giving it to the different groups of readers. And so the plays are just labeled by number. So, you know, play 471 and then the title of the play. And then that's how it's identified. So somewhere she's got a file with the numbers matching with the names of the playwrights. But I don't see that information, not until the end.
I can imagine, though, that there are some people who are probably astute enough, and there have been some repeat people at the Ashland New Plays Festival, mm-hmm. so I imagine there are some people who think, this feels kind of like that other play from a few years ago.
Yeah, and it can be kind of fun to read something and be like, oh, clearly a man wrote this, and oh, it's a woman, oh, that's really interesting. So that can change your perspective for the positive or for the negative, I think.
So when it gets down to the 12, I mean, you pick the final four out of the 12 finalists?
I do, but I rely really heavily on the reader ranking. So they rank their plays. The final, I think we had 26 in the final group, so they ranked them 1 through 26, and so I took the top 12, read the top 12. But we're doing four of the five top plays that the readers ranked. And really the fifth one that was there, I think it was ranked number three or four, it ended up getting disqualified because the author had taken the play somewhere else. So really we got the top four plays that the readers ranked. So they, in my opinion, they got it right this year.
So let's talk about some of the criteria for the playwrights. I mean, what there are some restrictions on them, apparently. They can't have had the play produced someplace else?
Correct, yeah. So this we're the N is for new plays, right? So it's got to make sure that this is the first time that this is being produced. It can workshop it in different places, but it's got to be the first time that it's a major production that it's done. We've also got some limitations on the size of characters, on the length of play, and we also want it to be an original work, so we don't accept adaptations of any kind.
So number of characters, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You can't have a cast of 75 on the stage.
That would be problematic, yeah. So it's in the past it had been eight characters. We're out now actually making it eight actors, so there can be some doubling. But in a reading, it's just a little bit more complicated. If somebody's playing 16 different characters, how do you keep track of all those different people they're playing? So it just makes it harder. So the doubling is okay, but we're trying to limit it to the size of eight actors so we don't have massive casts.
All right, so the finalists this year, the plays that are actually going to be read at the Ashland New Plays Festival, The Bottle Tree, The Luckiest People, The Return of Tartuffe, and you might have to help me with this one, And Vaster?
And Vaster, correct.
Okay, why don't we start with And Vaster, because it's got the most unique name out of this group.
Yeah, sure. I believe the title comes from a poem of some type. This is a really cool story, actually. It's about kind of a theater couple, the leading theater couple of the country, and the man discovers that he has a 16-year-old daughter.
Now, this is a couple that has decided to be childless, right?
Correct, yes. Yeah, so they've lived their lives, they put it all together, and so they've had this big complication dropping in with this daughter coming in. At the same time, the wife is dealing with some type of physical ailment. We're not quite sure of what it is. So it's really about them trying to totally rearrange their lives and make things fit. So it's really well written, and the author, Sky Robinson Hillis, is actually quite young. It feels like this very mature story, a mature relationship, told in a really kind of refreshing way for me, from my perspective. So it was exciting to see something like that in here.
I didn't even ask about that, whether you're seeking a mix of comedy and drama, or whether it's all drama, or you know, you just take what you get.
I mean, a mix is great because it gives you, if people come four nights, they can see four different things. And we have a pretty good mix, I feel like, this year, some heavier stuff, some lighter stuff. So it's definitely something, one of the considerations. But ultimately, I want the four best plays. So if they're all dramas, I guess we're going to have a really dark, depressing season.
So where does Anne Vaster fall on that scale?
I would say it's in the middle. You know, it feels, gosh.
Because, you know, the mind always goes to like, well, you know, discovers he has a 17-year-old daughter, hijinks ensue, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's like that. I mean, I want to say it's more on like the parenthood scale of things. I don't know if Sky would agree with me on that, but there's some dramatic moments, but I also think it's quite funny. And really, I feel like the relationship between them is really the star of the show. Seeing a mature, loving relationship, I feel like, is so rare. You know, we're used to seeing sitcoms where, you know, the husband and wife hate each other, so it's really great for me to see that. I just got married, so maybe that's also part of it too, that I'm watching.
You want to make sure that older couples are happy.
Exactly,
couples, yes.
Exactly. You know, and make sure my future is good. But that's one of the really exciting things for me. So, and we've also got David Kelly and Terry McMahon playing that, so it's really exciting to see them, who are a couple in real life, go ahead and do that in the show.
So both major players at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, correct. Which forms the bulk of your acting company.
That's correct. Yeah, we got a few outside people. We've got a few younger people from the SOU program, but the bulk of our actors are from Oregon Shakes.
Where Kyle Hayden once worked himself, he's now the artistic director at the Ashland New Plays Festival, which is the subject of this segment. You can join us on the exchange with questions or comments, and maybe some impressions from former New Plays festivals you've gone to before. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, The Bottle Tree is one of your other ones. What's that about?
Yeah, The Bottle Tree is actually really topical. It's looking at school shootings. And so the kind of conceit is what happens to the people that are left behind, the families of the victims. So it looks at Allie Mason, whose brother was involved in a school shooting in Mississippi. And so it kind of flashes back and forward, but it's dealing a lot with her return to school. And kind of integrating back into the school community. So dealing with students, how she deals with them, how she deals with her mother, how she's kind of coping with the tragedy. So it's very, very topical.
Were there any concerns about putting it on stage once the shooting happened at Umpqua Community College?
I think, you know, Beth Kander, who's the playwright, she's talked to me about, she feels like every time something happens, and unfortunately it's happening far too often, that it's really kind of underlining the need for why she's writing it. So I feel like it's not exploitative in any way. So I think, you know, we really felt like this is an important story that should be told. So it's unfortunate that it strikes a little close to home right now. But no, I feel like it's going to be something useful, I think, for the community.
The play The Luckiest People. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm directing. So I'm very excited about that. The main question of that is what's our responsibility to our parents as they continue to age? So Richard, the main character, his mother has just died. His father wants to move in with him and his husband, but they're getting ready to adopt a baby. So there's this kind of push and pull as to how are they going to make room for him? How are they going to take care for him? Do they really even want this baby? So it's a pretty fun play, but it's got some interesting questions, I think, about aging and how we take care of our parents, how we deal with them.
The Return of Tartuffe. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's really fun. So Tartuffe, the Molière play, obviously very famous. So Tartuffe, at the end of that, is sent off to a French jail, and he tells us very early on that was lucky and got out early, was sent to America. And so he runs into Cotton Mather, who was helping to develop vaccines in Massachusetts in the 1700s, I think, if I have my history right. So Tartuffe is now trying to apply his schemes in America. So this is a straight comedy, and it's actually also completely in verse. So Brian Mulholland, the playwright, it's his first play, and all rhyming couplets. So it's really, really fun.
Wow, that's a tall order.
Yeah, I first heard about it. I saw the title and I was like, this is gonna be rough. And within 20 seconds of reading it, I was completely charmed. It's fantastic the way the verse flows. It's really natural. So he's done a really fantastic job. That's our one pure comedy of this, and I think people are really gonna love it.
There have been, as I mentioned, some playwrights who've done more than one gig at the Ashland New Plays Festival. Anybody returning in this year's flock?
We've got four new people this year, so they're all really excited to be here.
How valuable is it to the playwrights to get what they get from the Ashland New Plays Festival to actually get their plays on their feet, essentially, for the first time.
Yeah, it's really valuable. You know, one of the things a lot of the past playwrights have talked about is the engagement with the audience. So after the plays are read, then there's a brief talkback period led by our host playwright, E.M. Lewis, where they can kind of help give feedback, talk about what they've heard. So a lot of the playwrights have talked about how much they've enjoyed that process and the kind of interaction. But I think working with quality actors, having a chance to hear the play twice so they can hear it publicly, and then if there's, you know, a little bit they want to that's bothering them, or they want to try out a different spot, they can hand a few pages to the actors and work that in. So it seems like everyone that's gone through the program in the past has really enjoyed it. So we're anticipating the same thing this year.
I know a couple of plays that have gone from ANPF have actually been produced just up the road in Talent at the Camelot Theater.
That's correct.
But have there been broader venues for some of these works?
To my knowledge, some have been done. I don't have hard details on that, but I know that there have been some that have been that are in the process of being developed. Three of our playwrights right now have other plays that are being worked at other theaters. So I think that's a really exciting development going forward.
So over the 23 years now of the New Plays Festival?
24, I think,
okay.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So what kind of rep is the Ashland New Plays Festival getting among playwrights for one and among audiences for the other?
Well, I think it feels like, as you kind of said, it feels like it's one of the things that happens in the fall, right? So it's something that happens in October. I think our audiences very much look forward to that. So I feel like it's got a positive rep here in Ashland, and hopefully throughout the Rogue Valley we're going to try to spread the word a little bit. Among playwrights, certainly nationally, it's getting known as a place where you want to come spend some time, get your play workshop. We had, you know, almost 600 submissions this year, so I think that's pretty incredible. And we're pretty close to our deadline for this year as well, people getting their plays in. So it sounds like people are really excited about it nationally and locally.
What is the deadline then for submissions for ANPF 2016?
It's as soon as we get 400 plays, and we've got a counter on the website, so we're creeping up close to that mark.
Wow. Tick, yeah. Tick, tick.
Yes, exactly.
There. Okay, if you got a play you want to submit, it needs to go soon to the Ashland New Plays Festival. Four plays on the stage, twice each, October 21st to 25th. Kyle Hayden is the artistic director. Kyle, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the Jefferson Exchange.